Okay. Is it going? Okay. Sunday morning, this is 5:31:20. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of good things that have happened. I don't know. I know I've told Danny, I don't know if you're aware of the new king.
Yes.
You know, you think about things are going on all over the world. It's not just in the United States of America. This is global. And you know how many provinces the Queen of England was over? Pretty well all. Pretty well, you know. Most of the countries are commonwealths to the crown, you know. And God's raising up a just leader that has the true lineage to sit on the crown. God's doing it all over the world. I mean, we see what's happening here, but like I said, it all depends on your point of view. Because if we weren't hitting any, stepping on any toes, or there wouldn't be the mess that we see today. If we just complied to whatever they said do, we probably wouldn't see all the stuff that we're seeing. It's just the devil's pushback. And it comes to us as warfare, and sometimes it's just a trial. Well, today I want to speak to you. There's two sides to every trial. And it's my hope that this will help you in the things that comes against you. I believe the Lord's helped me the last few weeks in that area, and so I just wanted to share it with you. There are always two sides to every trial. It's based on your view. Victory or defeat, you choose. The optimistic view can never be defeated. The pessimistic view can never win. Either the sky is falling or it isn't. It just depends on your point of view. God says we win. So when we get in agreement with God, then we win. If we don't, and we get in and we go with the flow of the world, that the sky's falling, then the sky will fall. You know, I got to thinking about what I said earlier about God's given us the earth to subdue it. And that means the devil, because he's down here. You know, up in heaven, they don't have any problems. Not one. Not one. Everything's in divine order, and it stays that way because God's on the throne. Well, the earth is given to man. So it's up to us, the deep state players right now, these satanic worshipers. I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but back in, I think it was a couple of Easters ago when the Notre Dame burned to the ground, Notre Dame was where they did their satanic rituals. They did 666 child sacrifices. I don't know if it's every year. I don't know how often it is. But that's what they did in Notre Dame. Well, 4 days before it's the day before Easter Eve is when they do it. And it burned like 4 days before this ritual was supposed to take place. This is where the Antichrist was supposed to incarnate a clone or something of that magnitude, you know, inhabit somebody. And it got burned to the ground. And so the portal that they opened for the satanic being to come through to inhabit this clone, because of what happened, it destroyed whatever, you know, their symbols, their rituals, their stuff. Everything has to be in alignment, has to be in line with the stars and all this gobbledygook for everything to be complete and do what they want done. Well, that got thwarted. President Trump. They blew that thing up because they knew what was fixing to go on. But what it did was, is they, it cut off their timeline. Bam. That portal closed, shut. That demon's trapped. That's the devil we're talking about. I don't know that that describes the, him in the pit, but I'm telling you, it stopped the timeline so that the Great Awakening could transpire. Now, I'm sure that's not the only place that they do their awful stuff, but that timeline was stopped. And for the information that I heard, you can take this with you want, a certain former first lady that's not a lady was supposed to be the one that was in training, was going to do the sacrificing. And they were in Paris, right across the harbor when this all happened. These are wicked people. I'm telling you, these are the wicked, most wicked, most wicked. When little Ellen DeGeneres was trying to send all her messages, she's trying to tell the cabal, we're sunk. Because see, their power, their wisdom, their all that they get from that demonic entity has been cut off, and they don't know what to do. They're scrambling right now for it. They're like chickens with their head cuts off. They're pulling at straws, trying to just anything to try to stop what's coming, because they know what their end is. Mm-hmm. What's coming. So today, we need to view our side of it as a victorious side, not the bad side. We need to stay on the good side. We need to keep our minds stayed on the good side. Because Satan is a deceiver. And he would like to take your thinking down to the pit if he can. And if he can't do that, just take you down to the grave where you're not effective anymore. This is very, very... I mean, why would they use the propaganda machine? Been using it since World War II against the people of the United States. Why? So it would be like all like sheep led to the slaughter, like the scripture says. We just all just follow them because of just whatever we are listening to, that's the narrative we follow, and we're just dumb. But God didn't make us that way. He made us to be those that have free thought, free will. And his hopes are that we would take his word and renew our minds with his word. But he can't make us do that. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. 1 Samuel 17, we're giant killers. I want to read this story because...
Where is it?
1 Samuel 17. The Lord had to seek another ruler for Israel because Saul, he started out okay, but as time progressed, he began to do things out of his own soul, you know, so to speak, and he called it God. He got independent in his thinking, and it let him off. Says now verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belonged to Judah. Let me say this right quick. This new king is in line with the line and lineage of Judah. David, God promised David that he would have someone sit on the throne forever. We're from the line of the tribe of Judah. Someone that would sit on the throne forever. And because David followed God with his whole heart and never turned from God, even though he made some mistakes. But because he stayed on the throne and he never turned his back on God, God promised him there would be an heir to sit on the throne. And we're seeing that happen right now. Yes, Jesus, but also a natural heir. See, he was talking to the natural heirs of Israel. Israel's been scattered throughout the earth. You know what? If we did a study on our lineage, we might be surprised. We might have some of that lineage. We don't know. How can you know? But what difference does it make? Is you're grafted in? Are you the true lineage? Because there's many Jews that say they are, but they are not. You know? So Saul started going the way of the flesh, Soko, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephes Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves for brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear had weighed 6,000 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." The Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Let me read that again. And he had 8 sons. Okay, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethel, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For the Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the land of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I feel like that's where we are as a nation today. We've got a Goliath taunting us. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a funny thing during all the COVID stuff. They let all these wicked sex offenders and murderers and stuff out of prison because of the virus. But then they put people in prison for going out in their yard and walking their dog. What do you think all these thugs were released for? Mm-hmm. What do you think's going on right now?
Exactly.
These paid mercenaries to taunt, just like Goliath is doing right here. We think we're getting a little ground, and all of a sudden, it's like they loose a batch of stuff on you, like you're thinking, oh my God. The people have been brutalized. I said, Lord, the people have been brutalized. There was a man, he had just opened a kind of a bar type thing, and he was a black man, and they were ravaging his place, and he was just sitting there crying, saying, how can I ever recover from this? It was the saddest thing, and I just thought, Lord, this is happening to all over, to 13 different places in our country. Dallas, Texas was the one in the place in Texas to do these riots and to plunder and to tear up, you know, hurt them because they decided they were going to go against wicked government. Now let's go in there and tear at their offices. You can see people at a Target store looting the store, going in there and taking everything out of it. But before all that, they had these paid people that go in and just start breaking windows to incite violence and to see if they get any players. This is the devil's crowd. This is the way the devil works. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. We can't be afraid today to stand up to Goliath and to speak what we want to speak. And I don't mean to be unkind. I don't mean to rejoice over your enemies. I mean you better get bold and don't be afraid of what comes out of your mouth. The Lord says they'll hang till they're dead. You speak it. Don't be afraid to speak. We have become mealy-mouthed Christians, and we don't have power to do anything because of this kind of attitude.
That's true.
If the Lord says you pronounce a sentence, you pronounce a sentence because He's using your mouth to bring His judgment. That come right out of the word you just said. Mm-hmm. That don't mean we go around and say, ha ha, this happened to them. No. Me, it makes me very sad because I think about their eternity. How it's going to be. If you think it's bad here, you just don't even have a clue of what eternal hell is going to be like. It makes me feel sad for them. I feel sorry for these people. They've been brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. Well, I want to say something here. I've thought about it a while ago, and I let it get past me. I know a few weeks ago in a word the Lord said, he shut the churches down. He shut the churches down. He's doing something different. Someone brought up something yesterday in a Q post. It was a Q post about the QAnon, Jesus and the QAnon movement. And I went to the link of that, and that link took me to I forget the name of it, Omega Kingdom something. It is a huge organization that trains people to be home church leaders. Now, I've heard this before, that they're all over the United States. And they begin to talk about the safety that there is in home groups as compared to people in churches, and also the personalization of it, it being in small groups, more accountability. There won't be any of this pedophilia and all this stuff going on in churches. But what I was going to say to you, just like Eliab, his brother, you know, coming against him, coming that attitude, you know, they can scream because they won't let them go to church. But this is part of that judgment beginning at the house of God first. It's no longer business as usual. We've been laughed at and scorned because we were home church people. Nobody ever understood. No one would come because they thought, well, you know, you couldn't have nothing doing that. All along it was God. Mm-hmm. All along it was the Lord. This is His doing. And that's what He's doing today. He's shaking those churches. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. To me, it's a wonderful day because in the organized church, I couldn't get anywhere because of how traditional men in the church and even women, they've been taught, you do it a certain way, or you're not part of us, and you'll get nowhere ever. Yeah. Don't you see it here with his brothers? Well, this is the way we do it here. You go on back to your stinky sheep. I feel privileged that I don't have some menopausal male hanging over me telling me I got to do this or that. No, all I have to do is obey God. And I'm talking church leader, I'm not talking my husband. Yeah. I'm free to be who God's called me to be. I mean, I feel free. I feel privileged that the Lord didn't stick me in that. And there's a lot of people like me all over that God is raising up at this time. It seems modest to a lot of people, but it's not organized religion for sure. It's what God's doing in the earth. Reject it or accept it. I've got to the point, I don't really care. It'll be interesting to see what'll happen in the churches. Either they'll go on with business as usual, or they'll get on the pop line. Maybe they've hit their knees during this time and God will say, I want you to do something different. I had to arrest your attention to get you to do something. I've been trying to get you to do it for 40 years and this is the only way I could get you to finally stop being so busy doing all your little programs and all your little things, all the little things that everybody does, little religious exercises. Now you've stopped and I can tell you something. I can tell you what I want. This is my church, right? This is coming out of left field here. Oh, I feel honored. It's an honor privilege to me. Thank you, Lord. You rescued us. There was a reason why we never fit. It's like we'll read here in David. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. He's of another breed, another kind, God kind. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Is that where I quit? Right here. Let me just pick up with 27. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? You ain't got nothing. And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? Well, I guess if you decide you get tired of that, you can come out here. You know, this big, fancy $30,000, $30 million building. Come out here. There's something happening here. Ain't nothing happening there. This ain't me speaking here this morning. This is how the Lord sees things. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness. Well, you didn't do it our way. One day I tuned into a woman prophet. It's been 2-3 years ago. Well known. And she started that crap. Excuse my language. Just, well, you had, if people had got in the right way, hadn't done it the right way, then, you know, we just wouldn't give them any. It was like, who are you? I thought, goodbye. No. Religious ways. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. I remember one time saying to my dear friend, she goes, I'd had a word that someone said, the Lord said, I have ordained you. She said, you know what? I never thought about it that way. They're all looking to, some man has to ordain you and send you out and do this stuff or you ain't legit. Mm-hmm. I've ordained you, called you by name. You're mine. Is this God's? Is this His church? Or is this men? And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Like, what have I done now? With you bunch, I can't do anything right. That's the way I felt in church. Mm-hmm. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. In other words, you can't do it. There's no way you can do it. You didn't do it right. You're not old enough. This man, he's been doing it for 40 years, and you think you're going to go out there and do something? And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. Oh, I read that. 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. The first little house church we had, the little group of people, that was their first mistake. They all tried to tell me. They told me how I needed to teach. They had tried to tell me I was not in order. When God sent two pastors from across the country to come here and raise this ministry up. But they knew better. Of course, they had their papers with the AG. They bound to know better. Yeah, they knew better. Where that's coming from? Oh, Lord. All right, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. I remember after all the people left, I remember for 2 days I laid in bed and cried. And after that second day, I had a dream. And it was about a pastor that some blabbermouth women in his church decided, the prayer group, that they were going, they didn't want, think he needed to be there anymore, so they were going to get rid of him. Split his church. And the Lord showed me that. It wasn't me that was wrong. I was just untrained, raw, naive, thinking that these people, surely someone that's anointed, they would see that. See, the Lord wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a different thing. It goes against the grain of religion. Okay, and he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Maybe that's the fivefold ministry, you know what? And bag which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. I tell you today, Goliath is religion. Organized religion. That's the biggest giant that's before the church today, that's standing in the way, that's preventing from God's true people from coming forth. I knew there was a reason I was reading this story. From coming forth and being the Davids he's called them to be. To be able to hear the word of the Lord and to do what the Lord says. Not, well, this is what, when you, if you come here, this is what you got to do. I mean, that's what it was pretty well every church we went to. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Lord just said to me, the reason I had to send the pastors that I did from another place is because nobody here would ever see it or ever do it. And even they don't understand it, really. But that's neither here nor there. They did what they were assigned to do. And I give them that credit. Who cares if some man ever does anything? That used to mean a lot to me. But it doesn't mean at all anything to me today. Because God has ordained us. He's ordained you. He's ordained me. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Yeah, come on with me. Let's get back into our old routine. What I said before this morning, before this word, this is not set. If these people don't get on board, we'll be back in the same mess again, over and over and over and over. Organized religion is the biggest enemy, bigger than the devil, because he's defeated against the church today. The true people of God, those that hear the Lord and are moving with God and they know the times they're in and they're getting in the right place and they're coming out, they're waking up from their slumber. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the wild beasts of the earth, but all the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It's just too bad today that there's so many pastors are too jealous to let someone step in their pulpit and that they know are anointed to do what God wants them to do. They're jealous. They don't want the money gone. Tell me if it's true or not. And it came to, I didn't intend to go this direction, y'all, but the Lord knows. So whoever listens to this. In fact, I'm going, okay, Lord, how are you going to end this up here? Started out one way, and we're going way over here. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. God wants a church that walks by faith. Giant killers. People of action. They're sitting in their places and they're speaking and they're decreeing and they're pushing back the enemy. Not somebody just coming to just get a bottle refill. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew it, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. God has to call. He has to call. He has to. The church has to be called. It has to be judged so that those who are non-productive and non-working, that is holding back the rest of us, they will just go on and do something else. God will take them on or whatever he has to do that are in the way, for sure. Just think about it. A church full of Calebs and Joshuas. Just think about it. Giant killers. The Lord says today you always have a choice. You always have a choice. You are never in a situation that you don't have an alternative. And that's what the Lord wants to me to encourage with you today, because I know there's times things seem fierce and you think there's no way out, but that is not the truth. Remember how I started this right here. Victory or defeat, you choose. There are always two sides to every trial. It is based on your view. Victory or defeat, you choose. The optimist view can never be defeated. The pessimistic view can never win. And I'll tell you, and I mean it with all of my heart, the Lord said today, well, I don't want you teaching anymore. I want you to let somebody else step up. I'd say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll do it till the Lord says, don't do it. I'm not in it for the money. And it's obvious I'm not in it for the glory and the fame. But we need to be to a place that if the Lord says, okay, you train them, get them ready, and you start pushing them out. This isn't about the top banana. This is about a force in the earth. One that maintains this earth down here like they do in heaven. That's what the Lord wants. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How is that going to happen? That's going to happen after that giant of religion goes down. And we're in the process. Will there still be religion? Sure. There'll still be religion. But there'll be enough come out that God can do something with. All right, you always have a choice. James chapter 1. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm being mean again. I don't want to be mean. But you know, people don't understand. This isn't to coddle. This is to grow up. These words are words that grow up. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. This is chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So what's the choice here? You can either be victorious or you can either be defeated. What's the characteristic that brought the victory? The joy. The joy. That's what the Lord's been speaking to us for a couple of weeks now about joy. About viewing it the right way. David saw it as an opportunity. Saul's bunch saw it as, oh, there's nothing we can do. They were afraid. When confronted with the trial, hear the voice of optimism. There's a good outcome for every trial. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Philippians. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. I wish I'd have put it in the Amplified. I really like the way the Amplified brings that out. Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Didn't say rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. It says always. And again, I say rejoice. Then verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's another request, just like in James, asking for wisdom. And the peace of God which passes, if you won't fall to pieces, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is the optimistic view. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me doing, the God of peace shall be with you. Then verse 16, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Resist the temptation, for that is what it is to hear the pessimistic voice that says, I be not able. That's what temptation is. Let me read that again. Resist the temptation, for that is what it is to hear the pessimistic voice that says, I be not able. The children of Israel, the spies sent out the guys. What happened? You had two that were optimistic and 10 that were pessimistic. They said, we be not able, we be as grasshoppers, kind of like Saul's bunch. We be as grasshoppers in front of this giant. They said they were not able. And guess what? They weren't. But the two that said they were able, even though it was delayed, they're the ones that went and took the land. Once the choice is made, there's no turning back. So choose wisely, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, the temptations is to get you to say things that you don't really want. It evokes a response. But when you're cool, calm, and collected, and you can go to praise zone, ask God for wisdom, There's nothing else for the devil to do but to go on down the road, find somebody else that'll bring him in. This is the road to victory. I told the Israelites to choose. He told them to choose between the blessing and the curse. So it's a choice. It's not set in stone. It's a choice. It all has to do with your how you look at it. David saw the giant. It was an opportunity. I'm bringing that sucker down. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. But Saul's bunch, they were afraid and scared. Let this be a reminder before you open your mouth, for with it your choice is made. The right choice assures victory. It is law. It is my way. I've always allowed you to have whatever you desire. Now listen to this carefully, whether blessing or curse. So be careful how you choose. The devil brings lies to try to get you to speak what you don't want by pressure on your body and mind. That is why you must resist him and he will flee from you. Don't give him your words, for they are powerful. They are as powerful as my words that I spoke when I said, light be into the darkness. Satan is after the seed, the word, parable of the sower. He comes immediately to steal the word so that he can create what he wants. He can no longer be ruler in your life when you cut off his supply. Yes, those words you utter in your weak moments, blessing or curse, still your right to choose. It's all up to you, for I gave man free choice. Here is a key today for victory. Praise agrees with what my word says about you. Complaining agrees with the plan the enemy has for you. At my most vulnerable hour, I had to keep a tight lip. Okay, we're going to look at these scriptures. John 14. John 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Then John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus says here, I set an example for you to follow in my steps. Loose lips do sink ships. In the old saying, as the old saying goes, I overcame the world, so cheer up. So can you. Your words are as powerful as mine were. You want me to turn up the power in your life? Well, you must be proven. Can I trust you? Yes, this is what all the training has been about. It's like Charles Capp saying, you know, the Lord warned him about his words. Don't speak that guy's, better watch that old rattle trap. It's going to be scattered all over the road. Or, you know, they better stop doing that. That house will burn down. And it burns down. Can God trust you? Can your words be trusted? First Corinthians 13:11 says it all. You know, we can all think we're further along than we are and really feel that. And then all of a sudden the Lord says something to us and we realize, I ain't out of the sandbox yet, Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. A kid is just about, think about a kid, they're really honest. And there's liable to be anything come out of their mouth. embarrassing? When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. As men of God, we cannot afford to fall back into childish ways and speak childish words. Because there's power behind our words. What if it was going to burn something down? As maturity in this matter comes, advancement can come. When you advance higher, more is required. Don't despise where you are, but master this season in your training. All the movies, like, you know, the Jedi, training of the Jedi, Yoda, with Luke Skywalker, but Daniel-san, Mr. Miyagi, think about the training. This is natural. The Karate Kid movies, you know, just, they're always wanting to punch. They're always wanting to have all the end result without the discipline and the training to get there. The lies, the symptoms, they are Satan's weapons that are formed against you to stop your success and your advancement in the kingdom of God. He knows that he has only a short time. His bullets, yes, his bombs are meant to take you out, but your choice can disarm them. This is what I'm observing in your life, to see what you call the situation, where you call it the way it is or something else. That's what all the training is about. All the uncomfortableness, being stretched. It's like your fruit is being squeezed. Okay. The lies, the symptoms, they are Satan's weapons that are formed against you to stop your success and your advancement in the kingdom of God. He knows that he has only a short time. His bullets, yes, bombs, are meant to take you out, but your choice can disarm them, which is pessimist, not being a pessimist, but being an optimist. This is what I'm observing in your life, to see what you will call the situation. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Whatever you call it, that is what it will be. Oh God, what now? Okay.